Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
This is Ross Coulthart, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
Well, let's go straight into it. And on News Nation with Ross Coulthart, which, by the way, given what you talk about and what we are going to talk about, if you read the YouTube comments, it's surprisingly positive given the nature of what you end up discussing. And I was really pleasantly surprised to see that because of the way YouTube can be. Hi to everyone watching on YouTube. And something you said to Ross was, I don't know how crazy you want this to get. So I'm going to say to you, Sarah, let's get as crazy as you want to and discuss the woo, okay, the spirituality, whatever you want to call it. And I was trying to think of a good place to start this conversation. And I was going to go with 2012. You had a near-death experience. Would that be the best place to start?
Sure. Yeah. Things started increasing more then. I did have May 10th of 2012. I remember the date. I remember numbers very easily, probably why I got a physics degree. And things started increasing after that. So most of my life, I have had spiritual or ghost encounters, or I've had vivid dreams of loved ones that would come to me. And then after my near-death experience, I started having more psychic things happen, which I really didn't understand at the time and was freaking me out. And that progressed to more of the vivid dreams. And also, I don't think I talked about it before, I would have kind of like the movie The Sixth Sense, the things would visit the little boy, especially in his sleep, and that would happen with me. And I didn't know what was happening. So a good chunk of my life, I had suffered from night terrors every once in a while. But I would know I would be in the night terror, and I would scream at my boyfriend at the time to wake me up in my sleep. And so I had no idea that it was like from the spiritual aspect of things until I started going down to like training and learning how to, you know, protect myself. But yeah, I started having more an onslaught of things, and that included visitors in my dreams in the house where I was certain a guy in a raincoat in a rainstorm was in my bedroom. And I would talk to him, like these entities in my sleep. So I would be sitting up asleep talking to them, and my ex would, you know, case the house to make sure we were alone. It would freak him out enough because I was that convincing that something was in the rooms. And sometimes I would just point to him like, he's right there. You don't see him. And then of course he'd come back to bed with adrenaline high, and I'm like laying down and back sound asleep because I was asleep the whole time. But I would remember all of this. And so like more things started happening like that, and more psychic things, and things progressed to having somebody else's loved one come to me, and the person that she was a part of, like the living person, him and I didn't know each other very well, and it freaked me out horribly bad. I didn't know what was happening to me. I was predicting some of these things for myself that were, you know, occurring, and that was the last straw. I was like, I'm going crazy. I don't understand what's going on. I need help. And so that's kind of how my classes and all my training journey started, was thinking I was super cray cray and needed help.
And you mentioned to me, a lot of folks have reached out to you, because you've touched on some of those experiences in previous interviews and folk have wanted you to follow that up. So take me through, timeline wise, is that 2012, 2013, or are we going back further than that so far?
No, it's actually forward in time from where you're talking about. This would be 2018. I had actually, the person and I were, his loved one came to me and I'm freaked out. We stopped talking soon after that. And I found a psychic medium, and that wasn't too far from me. I have loved ghost stuff, you know, my entire life. And so as I was reaching out to find a psychic medium, which I had never done before, I didn't know what to look for. And I just knew that there's a lot of people, a lot of scams out there, I'll call it like Miss Cleo. Like, you see Miss, I'm not saying Miss Cleo was a scam, but like the commercials and stuff of Miss Cleo back in the day of call Miss Cleo, I'll help. And so I didn't know what I was looking for. And I of course found the right person, but she was less than half an hour away from my house. So made an appointment with her. She was booked up for pretty far in advance. So I had to wait, I think it was probably about a month or so before I was able to finally go talk with her. And I was super nervous. This is really funny. I briefed a 4-star general. I briefed the director of NSA that day, National Security Agency. And so I briefed a 4-star general and left work right after the briefing to go to my psychic medium appointment. And
can I just, I'm going to interrupt you, Sarah, and I'm really sorry because I want you to keep your flow going. But I think this is a really important thing in the UFO conversation, sort of where we're at now. So people for years, decades, have wanted individuals like David Grush, Sarah Gamm, and others to come forward. And we'll lump Lou Elizondo and all those names. I just don't want to rhyme off everyone's name every time. And talk about the UFO subject and talk about analysing real pictures of UFO, talk about seeing but non-human biologics and all the stuff that for decades was literally consigned to movies. And it's a strange thing where we are in society that now we're there and we've got these individuals like yourself coming forward. It's kind of blown people's minds a little bit that it's not the narrative they maybe had in their head. And the best way I can put this, and sorry I've used this one before, folks, is when I read the Harry Potter books, I, in my head, had this whole world created. This is what the school looked like. This is what the characters looked like. Hermione, for 3 years, I called Hermione because I didn't know her name was Hermione. No social media. You know, it was the 90s, so... Mm-hmm. And then when you see it on a screen and it's a director's interpretation and here's the cast and here's the language and it can change. It can be good. It can be bad. It can be better. All different things. And I think this is where people have had all of a sudden for many folks, the UFO topic for years, maybe have been slightly more entertainment than informative. And now it's such a real thing that you can attribute and attach real people to this story. And I think you make a great point there. Like you say, you were literally doing a briefing with a 4-star general for the NSA one afternoon, and then at night, forget what you're even doing, you're just off living your life. And that's the point I've asked people like Luis Elizondo, the day you saw that piece of footage, what was it like driving home in your car afterwards, sitting in traffic, looking at the family in the car next to you having a meltdown because their kids are kicking off in the back seat? And you've got this paradigm world-changing video playing over and over and over in your head. You know, David Grush having journalists go after and attack his private life, which he has a private life. He has a personal life that's nothing to do with his job, with his role. And it's kind of brought to the forefront. And people can see that as muddying the UFO conversation, but it's just people's lives and real lives. So I just want to make that point that it's great you're sharing the real, you are a real person, you have a life and interests that just because it doesn't necessarily conform with someone listening or watching this's view of what someone working in this topic or the intelligence community should be like, because that's not what the movie said, doesn't mean it's not real and true and genuine. So I am now rambling, so sorry to put you off.
No, thank you. And it was a career goal of mine to brief a 4-star general one day, because I got to brief a lot of 3-stars while I was at NGA. And so I thought, oh, you know what? Let's up the ante. Let's brief a 4. And I had no idea I'd be able to do that at such an early, like, I have so much of my career left. And so that was really cool, you know, putting a different hat on and going to a completely different experience. Like I said, I'd never had a psychic medium reading before, but I was freaking out. So when you asked earlier about, you know, after you see these videos of, you know, potential UAPs, how do you go home and you sit and you're in traffic? I've had a lot of the moments where I've been blown away by more spiritual stuff, where I'm like, oh my gosh, that was real. That was me. That was, I don't know how to process this. And I can't just like call anybody about it because this was in my brain and this was my experience. It's not theirs, because I don't want to project this on other people. It's their life. It's not. So, anyway, so I go to my reading and, woman was absolutely wonderful. And she told me things that I had a best friend that had passed away the year prior. And she said details that no one would have known and gave me healing that I'm forever grateful for. And then she also, you know, we talked about other loved ones and some other very private things that no one would have ever have known. And then she said, you could be in my seat. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, they're showing me you in my seat. Like, you have the gifts, you have the abilities. You just need to know how to bring it out in you and know the training or get some training to know how to bring it out. I was like, I'm in. Like, you don't have to say anymore. I'm in. How do I do this? I'm in grad school. I was in grad school at the time. It was like, I have to finish grad school. I have no capacity. I'm working full time and I'm in grad school. And I was like, I barely am sleeping right as it is. So can we put a pin in this? And so she, of course, was like, yeah, I do teach. I have like a spiritual school here. And it's like, yeah, I'm in. We have to put a pin in this. And so I ended up going to her after my classes, after my grad school was over. And yeah, started my training. And it just so happened a few months after I graduated, she was starting like a new session of like the round one, basically, you know, Spirit 101 kind of. So all the timing, everything ended up working out, of course, perfectly as it is. So that was really how I started diving in was, I remember what I wore that day, briefing the general and then going to her. So very memorable.
No, thanks for that. And you're saying year-wise, we're around 2017, 18. Is that right?
18, yes.
So are we
towards the end of 18?
Are we in AOL chat room territory here? Is it? Are you in the chat room with the unofficially with the UAP folks at this point?
No, not yet. I didn't join that until 2019.
Okay, so how did? And obviously, you're going to be doing that. You'll be down the road with your learning, your spiritual journey, and your mediumship. Did that conversation ever bleed into conversations with the folks in the chat rooms or even within the task force? And I wonder how that landed, if it did.
I bit my tongue a lot.
I can imagine.
Because sometimes we would go down rabbit holes and, you know, once in a while we'd go down rabbit holes talking about aliens and the crossover of spirituality and ghosts. And so I really bit my tongue and I bit my tongue enough to where it's like, no, I'm in here. This is being discussed for a reason. I can provide value. I can provide input. So I very slowly started saying things like, oh, I've been watching ghost shows my whole life. I know all about this. So I would make it like a fun cover for what I was doing. Cause I was afraid. I was afraid I would get fired. I was afraid I would, my career would be over and my clearance pulled. So very, very scared to fully be like, I'm going to be a psychic medium one day, because I was still in the classes, right? And so eventually, I forget what day it was, but I finally told a few people privately. And they were like, that's really cool. Like, how do you, and they ended up asking a bunch of questions about how I came about it, and also being a scientist. And it was really neat that it was like a caring and a non-judgment situation instead of being judged and told to leave the room or whatever. So it ended up being a very positive experience. Like, and then I would slowly start not filtering as much to others and be more open about it. And the more I was open about it, I realized no one cared. And it was quite freeing. And we used to call it coming out. So a handful of my friends still haven't, you know, come out, and because their family might not appreciate it. So some of my classmates that I was with in the spiritual training courses, they like some of their family members don't see the value in what we were doing or whatever. They don't feel comfortable talking about it with others. And so I felt really blessed that I was surrounded, completely surrounded by people that accepted me. And I, you know, I'm still the same person. I'm still like quirky and nerdy. And now I just have more weird jokes I could share with others.
And do you know what? You've not actually talked about the near-death experience yet, because I think that's really important. And it seems to come up in conversations. And while this isn't a near-death experience or ghost podcast, this is all relevant to what we're talking about. When I spoke to Leslie Kane about how her book and Netflix series Surviving Death, there's this idea that people who have these near-death experiences or NDEs seem more open and susceptible to paranormal or psychic phenomena. It seems like a door gets opened to the afterlife or whatever that may be. And when you come back, it doesn't completely close. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I think for me, it just opened wider because I was already open. And sure, yeah. It was like, oh, the floodgates are open. Okay, she's definitely going to experience more now. Yeah, and that's what I've gotten a lot. So reading other books and stuff about NDEs, and you know, other people have shared their experiences with me that what I experienced was, you know, along the same lines as some others. Some of the things aren't the same. It took me a long time to get answers of what I did experience. And it was an interesting moment because, well, I saw blackness. So I was completely surrounded in absolute dark. There was no light where I went, but it was the best place of love and peace. I usually do start tearing up and crying. I don't have waterproof mascara on right now, so I hope I don't. But it's so much love and peace that when I think about it, my body can't contain the emotion because it's so beautiful. So it comes out in tears. But yeah, my family was around me and I knew they were there. I just couldn't see them. And so everything I was experiencing was in blackness. And so I didn't understand for a very long time, like, why didn't I have this experience that other people did, where they, you know, saw Jesus and they saw their family and they saw these colors and I got black. Mm. I got a void. So I finally got the answers one day and it was just, I will 100% cry. It's just so beautiful because I was also raised in a religious household, very religious community. So a lot of people are Catholic. I was raised Presbyterian. And, you know, when I go back and I visit my family at home, my daddy is a preacher. He's a lay minister. So I get to go listen to his sermons and I love listening to him talk and sitting in the congregation. I'm always going to be in awe of him, but, so I was informed I was actually getting ordained by the Order of Melchizedek, and Reverend Dan was ordaining a handful of us, and he was talking about a lot of his experiences. So first off, in the state of Virginia, which is where I live, if you practice Reiki, which I'm also a Reiki master, if you have a paying client, giving you money for your service and you put your hands on them at all, which sometimes you do in Reiki, it's considered a religious practice. And so you have to be ordained in order to do that. So I got ordained. And so we're all listening to Reverend Dan's stories. And a lot of his stories paralleled with some of mine. And I'm in awe at his journey and what he's done and what he's taught. And so he got to his near-death experience and mentioned seeing black. And my hand went right up. And so I asked him, why I saw blackness as well. And this was almost 10 years to the day. So 10 years to the day of my near-death experience, we were just like a few weeks shy of 10 years. And he said, well, before God turned on light, there was darkness. So what you experienced was pure love. And where you went was before when God turned on the lights. And so I cannot talk about this without crying because it's so beautiful and so, so magical. Like I get to be a part of this magical world and I got kicked out of heaven to come back and tell these stories and help people know that if they've experienced this, you're not crazy. It is love where you went and we have to come back to this place where there's all this hate and, you know, I could care less if people are making fun of me for crying right now. It's like we're real people and I'm here to share this love and this light. And the near-death experience was definitely profound for me for many ways. And I'm thankful enough that I remember so much of it. I remember coming back to my body. I remember hearing what the doctors were saying. I remember the nurse telling me she needed to call my parents after I finally got in the ICU and they had me stable and I had a port to my heart. I got a scar on my neck from a port that went to my heart. And I remember thinking to the nurse, don't call my parents. You're just going to freak them out. Like God done told me I'm going to be okay. Didn't everybody else hear God say that? And so finally the nurse asked three times and I had to oblige, cause you know, my ex at the time didn't know what to do. Like he didn't know what to tell my parents. And so I finally said, yeah, give him a call. My perspective in life hasn't changed since before it, but my ability to see that there's more in the world and that love is infinite and that change is always inevitable and love is always infinite. That we're here. I'm here part of all of this for a reason. So that really digressed and I'm kind of sorry for that, but also not sorry.
No, that's all right. I greatly appreciate you sharing that as well, Sarah. I've not made many guests cry, so do you know what? You made yourself cry. That's fine. And you say
that was all on me.
And right now, this is recorded, so no one's making fun of you. When it's published, I can't promise you, but people be nice in the comments.
Yeah, bring it on.
Do you know what? There's so many more nice folks than negative. So leave a nice comment. Couple of ways to go with that then, and just to touch on, because I don't think you mentioned the actual NDE came about because you were going under, was it anesthetic you were under and something
yeah,
went wrong?
It was a routine sinus surgery. I had a very bad deviated septum, so I was getting a septoplasty and the surgery went well. Recovery room part did not. I first woke up and when I wake up from surgeries I ask for stickers because that's what happens. And I was holding my stickers and I was like, can I go back to sleep now? And the nurse said, yeah, that's fine. I'll wake you up in a minute. And so I closed my eyes holding my stickers. I was super proud of them. And I heard her say, oh, she's not breathing. And I was like, who's not? Like, I didn't see anybody else around here. I pray that they're okay. And it was me.
Thank you.
Likely theory is anesthesia issue.
Just to clear that up, because I know you'd forgot just to mention that. So thank you just for bringing that one in, because people would be shouting at me, what happened to Sarah? Why was there an NDE?
yeah.
Now, let's kind of bring this slowly back to NHI, because the topics are linked for me. You have had these experiences growing up and psychic phenomena, whatever you want to call them. that they're all just different labels for something unknown or outside of the normal. Did you ever think of it in terms of it being a non-human intelligence when you had any kind of ghost type scenarios or psychic phenomena? And I'm right in saying it does come down to you believe you have had interactions with species that aren't human.
I had my first NHI come to me during a meditation. I think it was during the shutdown in 2020, the COVID shutdown. Kind of didn't surprise me because I knew that they worked with us. And I was surprised at the clarity, like how I saw them. And I could feel the love that emanated from her. It was a her. And since then, I've definitely had other encounters during healing sessions, even where they want to help heal us and help heal Earth and make Earth more of what it should be, which is operating from love and light. And I've then progressed to, I have had, it's just, I keep looking, I'm not used to just being so open about all this, but this video is out there. It's posted on my Facebook business page. But during a ghost hunt, I actually, NHI was present in the ghost hunt. So, and then the people, I was doing mediumship, and people that had the gadget, I would say, like, there's something over there. It's, you know, so tall and it's like long arms, and panned over. And in the technology that was being used, you could see what I was describing. So that was my first encounter, especially it was. Somebody's knocking at my door and it just scared me. Sorry.
Is it someone physically knocking at your door or?
Yes, I think so. We're going to let that go. Sorry. I don't have visitors very much. So okay. That scared me, especially during the day, because I would normally be at work right now. Sorry.
It's all right.
So, it was my first time having an NHI show up. It was like a live audience. You could also see it on the technology that was being used, and I was describing it. So, that was pretty cool. That was memorable. So usually when I do spiritual work, there is a data dump. So I don't remember a lot of what is provided to me. I joke that there's only so much vacancy up here. And so spirit knows that I also don't need to retain stuff because it's private for clients, right? So I don't need to like remember something that's so intimate and private in their life. So I do get a very quick data dump, sometimes even hours after a session. If I don't write it down, I'll forget it. But there are a few times when there's a few tidbits that I will remember, and that was definitely one of them. And even like seeing it on, it was an SLS camera that you could see what I was describing. It was really neat, but that is, yeah, super cool.
I'm making a note to check out the video when I get a chance after this. If people can see me looking off to the side, notepad and pen. Mm-hmm. So on that, do you think there's any correlation between you having that first NHI experience during meditation being in 2020 when you're with the task force during that time and the actual work you're carrying out?
To me, it wasn't one or, you know, it wasn't like what you were asking. To me, it was just my spiritual work and what was happening. I never thought about a correlation between the two, honestly, until I guess it was probably either from Lou Elizondo, or it could have been from another coworker that was on the task force that also had some experiences in talking with them. I really never thought the two correlated with each other, just because my life is so synchronistic with a lot of things. And then I had a visitor in my room one night that I did talk about with Ross on his interview that really made me wonder what was going on. And it was protecting me, basically, and doing protective maneuvers in my bedroom. But because of my spiritual world and, you know, like I mentioned earlier, seeing things in my sleep and things being in the room, that it didn't alarm me or set bells off because I know whatever's here in my house is of love and light. So, yeah, that's an interesting question. And I'm sorry, it's not like a yes or no. But I never thought about correlating them until recently.
Just in case folks haven't seen the interview with Ross and people go and check that out. It's really, really good. What was the visitor in the room?
The visitor, it was a bluish purple being, and it had no hair, ridges on the sides of its head. So it was nighttime, so I couldn't fully tell you what actual official color the skin was. It definitely looked like a bluish, almost like iridescent sheen of purple to it. No ears, holes for ears. Kind of like you mentioned Harry Potter earlier, kind of like a Voldemortish nose, but it was like a little bit not quite so flat like Voldemort. And it had this kind of, best I could describe it, is more like a Star Trek type uniform on, like very plain clothing, but it was definitely a uniform of sorts and a darker color because it was, you know, nighttime, so it was darker color than, you know, and a sword. And the sword was gorgeous. It was more of like a crystal type material and kind of changed and morphed and glowed, and but it marched, basically. It was marching back and forth in my bedroom. And so one of my cats, Krypton, he sees spirit. He has fought spirits for me. He sees my best friend that I mentioned earlier that had passed away. So he visits, but my friend also saw my cats when he was alive. So they're also familiar with him. And so when he comes and visits, I know when Krypton sees him because it's like, it's weird, but he responds positively to him. So I know my cat's behavior, right? And Krypton sat up in bed and I'm like, I'm still asleep, right? This is a vivid dream, like wake myself up. And so then I'd realize pretty quickly that I was actually awake and this entity was legit walking in my room and Krypton was staring at it. So I'm looking at him, seeing if he's aggressive or if he's, you know, protecting me and angry. And it was just like, oh, okay, I'll just continue to watch. Like he was just going back and forth watching the entity. And I started asking a bunch of questions like, hey, what are you doing here? Do you need some water? You need a sleeping bag? How long you staying? Like, what's going on here? And it was like a guard at the London Palace, like straight on, not acknowledging me. He's on a mission. Like, all right. And then at one point there was like a glow, like a kind of like a portal opened up near one of my windows. And he wasn't too far from a window. And it was like a pinkish glow. And he stopped and he looked and kind of looked like he was being talked to. And this was very brief. And the portal went away and he continued walking. And Krypton's like watching this whole thing too. And of course, my other cat, you know, homeboy will sleep through anything. The house would be on fire. And he's like, I'm going to die here because I'm comfortable. So he wasn't moving. And Krypton eventually just laid back down to go back to sleep. And I'm like, all right. And I definitely didn't feel anything bad coming from it. So I knew nothing bad would be in my house. So I laid back down and said, you know, if you need water, I guess you know where everything's at, and went back to sleep.
So interesting, you say you don't, nothing would be coming in. You mentioned love and light's a phrase I find divisive because some people, when they talk about the UFO topic, will say they are in constant contact with love and light beings and everything in the UFO topic is positive and there's no black and white. Everything is great on one side of it. And I don't think that's a fair way to look at it. Would you say though, it sounds like you're talking that there are entities or NHI which aren't positive?
Correct. Yes, there definitely are. Not all of them wants what's best for Earth or for the world.
So, one or two questions in. One of them is, actually, I'm going to go back to one you mentioned when you first started talking before about the NHI work with us. And I'm just curious what you meant by in what way.
Oh, good question. So a lot of the benevolent beings wants what is best for us on Earth, for our best and highest good. And they want us to get back to a place where, Earth doesn't have wars. Because apparently at one point, from what I have been told in some meditations, that we once were a harmonious planet and we operated in higher dimensions. And so they want us to get back to that, to where we should be, and trying to help us go along that path. And there's a handful of other, I'll call them famous people out there, that are very open facing about these beings coming here and, Earth's awakening and getting us back to a fifth dimension. So like Dolores Cannon, people have asked me about books and stuff. So Dolores Cannon is amazing. She is unfortunately passed away, but her legacy is being continued. And she is some of her videos are just amazing to listen to, of the goodness that she knows is coming here on this earth on this planet. So the beings that I have worked with are trying to help get to that state. But also we, for all of our amazing technology, medical technology, or, cell phones, everything, we've come a long way and we still have so far to go. I was just talking with a family member earlier this week about how little we actually know about even our own brains. And we were discussing about concussions and the potential side effects of those decades later. We really don't know much about our own bodies for how much we also do know at the same time. So the benevolent beings are just trying to help us along this path, and maybe not nudge isn't the right direction, but encourage and there for us as well.
Is it fair to remind the audience right now that anything you're talking about just now in terms of beings isn't from your work with the UAPTF or anything you've done there? This is through your spirituality and the work you've done from that point of view.
Right. Yeah.
So there we go. And you mentioned, and one thing people do get in touch with me from all sides of the UFO conversation, and I'll hear about sightings. I'll hear about people who have never seen anything but want to see something. I'll hear about folks who have experience with beings they'll say are positive, and I'll hear about negative beings as well. And I'm always happy to listen to people's stories, but I think this might be a good time for anyone who does have those sorts of experiences. One, you mentioned the positive side of things that you experience and how you get a feeling and that's all right. But you've mentioned as well there are protections and things you can do or rituals to put in place that may help someone who feel. And I've had these emails from folks who feel they're being visited or experiencing something potentially more negative.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. So let me collect my thoughts. So yes, definitely negative out there. I've encountered in some of my spiritual, not even adventures. We'll call it an adventure. I like that. So in my spiritual adventures, I have definitely come across negative NHI, and for some reason, I have an ability to ask them questions and they usually answer. So I know of why some are here and why they're not. And then, of course, I go to Google or I talk to some of my other friends who are also mentors or my teachers and ask them more questions. And then they validate of things that I ended up getting on my own, giving me another layer of validation about them being negative and why they're here. So one way, I'll talk about protection now, because I have gotten that quite a bit of questions from people. One super duper easy way to protect yourself is to imagine a bubble around you, a bubble of love and light. And this love and light, no matter what your religion is, if your source is your higher self, and you maybe pray to yourself, that love from God's love and light or source's love and light can come out of your heart and envelop you in a bright bubble of light. And so that light is protection. So a lot of spiritual work, especially early on when I started, it's about using your imagination and having intent. So having the intent to not allow anything to harm you is actually amazing. And it's helpful because we are more powerful than them. We have a body. We are here. This is our experience on Earth, not theirs. And so we have the ability to kind of send them away. Not all the time. But yeah, imagining this bubble. And so for kids, so there's a lot of my clients have kids that have abilities and they're like, we don't know, like my kid's 3 years old. I don't know how to tell them to imagine a bubble. And I'm like, well, have them tell them that there's, you know, imagine a bubble and you step into it. Like they can, it's still the intent, right? And you could send these bubbles to pets. And I also like to ask Archangel Michael. So Archangel Michael or Saint Michael is a protector and he's God's protector or source or whatever. He's a very powerful angel. And so you can ask him for protection too. So something simple that I like to say, and it varies from what I'm asking protection for, whether it be while I'm doing this with you right now and might be getting some attacks from others, some negative attacks or something. I protect myself before I do speaking. So I ask Archangel Michael to only allow love and light in my space, either on my property, in my house, over my pets. You could even ask for protection on your car while you're driving. So you ask for protection of love and light and everything else is not allowed in and it is banished now. And sometimes I'll take a deep breath. And then when I exhale, I'll imagine all the negative stuff going away. And then I'll take another deep breath and I'll inhale goodness that'll come in. And then when I exhale again, everything else is swiped away. So very, very simple things. And when you start doing stuff with intent, it really makes a difference.
I'm going to get to listener questions very soon because I appreciate you've been with me for a long time and a lot of folks sent in stuff. But I really have to ask, so you're someone who has, for you, you've got direct proof of an afterlife. You know, you've had that experience, that NDE. You've also seen videos and data that have convinced you of an existence of non-human intelligence, including your own beliefs and your background in academia. With all that in mind, right now, if someone comes up to you in the street or a friend says, you know, sitting down over a coffee or a drink, you know, this UFO stuff, what exactly is going on? How do you answer that question with all that experience?
I guess that varies on what the question and the context is.
So I'm going to be a more specific totally one then, because we are right now a couple of weeks away from congressional hearings again on the UFO topic on November 13th. So you may get some friends who are out of touch with the UFO thing or just dipping their toe in the water for the first time. And you're going to get someone saying, Sarah, that's UFO stuff, you know, is this real? Have we really got aliens here? It'll be something like that, won't it?
Yeah. I would tell them, yeah, we're not alone. And I would mention my same thing I would say in undergrad of infinite amount of space. Why would we be selfish enough to think we're the only ones in infinite space? And say, I've seen the data. I've seen some of what is being discussed. And without a doubt in my mind, we are not alone and it shouldn't be a secret. I don't know why it's a secret that we're not alone, but you know, the truth is here. The truth isn't just out there anymore. It is here. It is now.
Great question. Great answer to that question. And I'm going to get to listener questions now, Sarah.
Try to have short answers.
I'm just double checking some of them. We might have touched on already, but we'll get through these and then there was so much I wanted to speak to you about. I would have had you here for like 4 or 5 hours. I've condensed a little quickfire round right at the end just to touch on a few things to get quick thoughts on as well. But again, thank you, folks, that you sent over a question. I'll get Sarah back on if she's enjoyed herself to get through more of them. But first question from Gnosis says, have you seen the high-resolution HD or 4K video that has been claimed to exist by other people with clearances? There's a rumored long video, some say 23 minutes.
No, I don't think I have. I've seen some good quality data. I don't think I've watched anything for 23 minutes, though.
Okay. How does the quality of materials you saw compare to the 2017 videos that the Tic Tac Gimbal Go Fast?
Some of them are much, much better, especially caught me.
Almost.
Some of them are much better. I'm sorry. I'm going to be giggling about that for a little bit. Some of them are definitely much better, but also some of them are the same because some of those sensors haven't changed either. So,
you know, the most annoying thing for me, I've never said this before on the podcast, when I speak to guests who I know have seen various pieces of footage or data, etc., and when I'm talking about it, you'll probably have that playing in your head as an image anyway. So right now you're probably thinking about that video.
Yes.
And it's just like, yeah, if I could remote view, that would be fantastic. You know, just something where I could read my mind, that'd be great. Yeah, that's a frustration. And I like this question, still from Gnosis, asks, what would you say to those who worry that those on the inside have not actually seen anything that would be classed as unequivocal and undeniable if declassified?
What would I say to those who haven't seen something declassified?
No. So what they're saying is, you know, there are people who worry that people on the inside haven't actually seen anything startling or real genuine proof. And I think that even includes some of these senators and congressmen and women who are coming out saying, wow, I've just seen something incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is kind of a narrow scope of the broader intel community, right? Like, most of the intel community is looking at terrorism and fighting battles that most never know that are being fought while we sleep at night. I can honestly say I have fought against more terrorism than I ever realized I would in my career. So looking at UAP videos, I think is mostly of one of like the curiosity and the fun flair, the side of things. So it's not something that would just come up in a meeting while I'm discussing, you know, ISIS movements and where we need to monitor next and where they might have a hub somewhere. UAPs don't come up. So it doesn't surprise me that not a lot have seen what I have, even though I've probably seen just a fraction of what's out there.
Awesome. A lot of folks, Sarah, sent in questions, including Agent Black and Jacob and many more, around a comment you made on the Good Trouble show with Matt Ford about the, and I think you did with Ross potentially as well, I'm not sure, about the jellyfish UAP. Mm-hmm. So this was a video.
That was with Vinny on Disclosure Team.
And Vinny. But you did mention it on a couple of others as well. The jellyfish UAP video is the one that's filmed in an active war zone. It looks like it's a really weird looking shape, and it looks like it has stuff hanging down. People say jellyfish because if you imagine jellyfish tentacles and whatnot. Now, Now, I believe you said that it was something prosaic and it isn't something anomalous.
It is. So I have been getting a lot of, I'll call it blowback from this, but it is not a UAP. It is something that I can't discuss what it is. The analysis is unclassified, or it is classified. I did not do the analysis. It was another group that did it, and I would not be saying this with high confidence on camera if I didn't trust it, because that is a lot of people are asking if I trust, and I just, like, why would I risk my life and my career if I didn't trust what I'm saying? It is not a UAP. I can't discuss what it is, but it is. Well, that's my cat. I don't know if you heard Krypton meowing, but he's here.
That's all right.
But it is not a UAP.
Okay. And just to follow up on that, because I have to, you had mentioned that it was Aquarius life, was one of the comments.
I definitely wasn't talking about the same video.
I didn't think so, because immediately I was thinking, what type of Aquarius life would be floating around potentially in the sky?
100% not thinking it was the same thing at all.
A few folks brought that up, and that's absolutely fine. So thank you for clearing that up.
I am sorry. I have learned lessons. I will ask for clarification on questions. I will take a sip of water and process.
Sarah, this is an incredibly difficult topic to navigate, and I think you're doing as well as anyone, so don't worry.
Thank you.
So I suppose just from a conversational point of view, you have mentioned that you weren't happy with these types of leaks. And I wonder if you could expand on that. Your statement was something like it's the videos like that are 5% of what this is. And you feel stuff like this, these leaks, are hurting versus helping us.
Yes. Thank you for bringing it up. I am very passionate about what I do in my work, and I am upset that somebody has been wanting to leak really hard work that people have done. So think about if an author writes a book, let's say it's 100 chapters, and of course, a lot of love, a lot of passion, a lot of research, a lot goes into writing this book. You have to do edits and you have to do so much behind it. The publisher decides to only put out 2 random chapters out of the 100. You got chapter 3 and you got chapter 77. And then one photo that goes along with chapter 50. So that's basically what's being disclosed. It's not a whole story. It is a snapshot. And those snapshots do look pretty good. And I can't discuss about some of the other improper leaks that have happened that aren't UAPs. But we could talk about the jellyfish because that's what's happening. And that's what I was discussing about when I brought it up. So yeah, that looks pretty crazy. There's no doubt in my mind that that don't look cray cray. But there's so much more to the work that went behind it. There's so much more to the video. And I cannot discuss what it is because that is classified. I will just say that it is not a UAP, and a lot of work went into looking into that video.
What does come across is how frustrated you are with that kind of stuff happening. Is it fair to say that these leaks are deliberate attempts at disinformation or misinformation, or is it stupidity, laziness, whatever you want to call it?
That's such a good question. And I asked myself that, and I've talked to some other colleagues that also, when we talk at work in a classified environment, on why somebody would do this. And it boils down to, we don't know. I'm not that person. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know if they're trying to help, if they're trying to debunk. I don't blame any of the media for putting the stuff out because it does look crazy, yeah. But they're not getting the story that goes along with it, or the analysis that goes along with it, or the conversations that were spoken to the camera operators or the drone operators. So it is very frustrating because I have had some of my work that I worked on months to do leaked and it be completely inaccurate, and I can't say a thing about it.
Given the nature of what this would turn out to be, would we, the public, ever find out what it is? Or is it just that won't happen? It's classified, that's it.
I honestly don't know. I really get frustrated just as the public does. Like, I wish some of this could be disclosed. That's why I'm talking. That's why I'm trying to validate other people of that we're not alone, and to hopefully nudge that needle over to a side to where, yeah, we can actually make some of these things unclassified, or we could at least speak about them publicly. That would be great.
Good time for a question from Stephen, which asks then, on that note, what was Sarah's motivation for coming forward, and what concerns, if any, did she have about doing so?
Concerns. I mean, all of it. My life. I have gone through not pleasant things since I came out on the Good Trouble show with Matt Ford. I don't wish what some of the things I've gone through on anybody. I wouldn't risk my life and my career if I didn't truly believe in my words that I'm saying. What nudged me to come out was, honestly, Lou's book is behind me. I loved it. I soaked up so many of his words that resonated with me, and that also made puzzle pieces fall in place on what I was going through with the task force, and then the transition to Arrow, and It felt like the right time, and I will be a part of James Fox's film. I'm not in it a ton, so don't y'all think I'm going to have like this amazing long segment on it, but I want the truth out there, and with the Disclosure Act happening last month, I just thought like maybe I'll help be able to be an advocate. So a lot of things like ended up lining up in my life to be able to be brave enough to come forward. Cause if you would have talked to me a year ago, I could not have. I was healing, I was recovering from a knee surgery, and I, had a lot of things happening in life, and I didn't have the time or energy to do this. And so now I do.
And do you know of more Sarah Gams who may be texting, emailing, or calling you who potentially could come out themselves?
I know of a handful of others, but I know they don't want in any type of limelight or starlight or whatever kind of light this might be, ring light.
good one. Yeah.
Right. But I hope, like, I'm happy to be a voice for others too. So if they want me to speak their words for them, that's not going to be the first time I've spoken for others. So I'm happy to do that. And I hope more do come out. I have been getting a flood of experiences and shared details of some similar things that I have spoken about. And that is absolutely incredible. I feel so honored that people trust their stories with me. But it's also overwhelming because there's all this goodness that's happening and there's still this stigma. So I hope we're all knocking that down.
Dave Smethurst sent a few questions, a few Hail Marys. So the first one was, Arrow used a very high bar of scientific analysis, in my view, to avoid drawing any conclusion about the exotic nature of the observed UAP. Using a more intelligence-like assessment, what things did Sarah observe that were things our current technology could not do?
I would say the maneuverability, definitely. And that's, I know I'm not the first person saying this, but the maneuverability and the, and I'll call it like a, in quotes, like playfulness of the objects. And I say playfulness because I'm not a pilot dealing with seeing this in the air, so I'm sure that was not playful to them. Mm. But the maneuverability, like the G-forces and stuff, the stopping and the turning and the pivots and 90-degree turns that are on a dime, there's, that's not a balloon. That's not anything here. So I think that's probably the most I think about when people ask me that question.
A little follow-up on that then is, in her estimation, how many years in advance of our tech were they, and did the tech differ?
Exponentially. I mean, they understand quantum physics way, we're just starting to crack the code on quantum, and sometimes we get pushed back. We do a few backward steps, and then we'll take a leap forward. So, they're exponentially more understanding of physics than, even gravitational forces of being able to do, like the cool shielding that the Marvel movies have on their ship and stuff like that. Like, that's in a sci-fi movie. And just think, like, that's actually real somewhere. How cool is that?
Very cool. It must be so much fun. This is just for me, having your passion and interest in the UFO topic and getting to do that job. Like, that's like if I got to do a day's work experience and you took me in with you to look at videos and pictures for the day. Like, that'd be incredible. On that, the Hive asks, have you seen the video of the Mosul orb?
Yes.
Is that in a private capacity or professional?
Professional.
The follow-up to that is, what was the analysis of the UAP task force of that video?
I cannot discuss that. It is unfortunately classified.
To be fair, that's 2 hours and 1 minute we've been recording, Sarah, and it's the first time you've said that. So I'm pretty impressed with myself that that's the first time I've got that from you. So I'm more than happy with that at this rate. Also, have you seen other similar orb videos in the task force archive that you analysed and haven't been released?
Yes.
I'll follow up. How common are orbs as a shape?
I would say that's probably the most common shape.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're talking round balls, not discs,
Yep.
Cool.
I don't think I have. Oh, I do have something round. Here we go.
Cool.
Labradorite.
Yeah. which I get a disc from above looks like, you know, could be a sphere, but yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Johnny asks, did she ever collaborate with anyone within the UK government during her time in the job?
I did not.
You did not. You did mention on, oh, and I'm getting my stuff mixed up with, I think it was with Ross on News Nation.
I did. I mentioned it with Matt, and then I think it was Ross. No, it was Vinny, because Vinny's over there. But I did clarify that I should have gone in more depth, but it was just going to Google. I was helping a friend trying to figure out a paper for a thesis and for a master's program, and we started talking about databases of UAP stuff. And so what I found was just on the Google machine, and anybody technically could go do that.
Did you ever get any sense of why the US seems to be so public about this conversation? You know, it's on Fox, CNN, NBC, and I'm in the UK, right? I'm in England, from Scotland, but I'm in England. And we don't get a sniff of this in the UK. Even the biggest stories, I suppose, the Grush story from last year, we had a four-day window where the press, the serious press, had an interest, not a major interest, but an interest. And there was a small interest when Lou Elizondo's book came out a few weeks ago. Other than that, there's no inkling that this is a thing politically or in the mainstream, or in the news. Any ideas why you think that is?
We're just maybe more persistent here. I don't know. I really am not sure why it's like such a easier thing to discuss here. Maybe with the crashes in the 40s that happened, you know, there was a lot of publicity there, but I know stuff has happened overseas and in the UK. I really don't know. That's a good question. Here's Krypton.
Oh, there we go. First appearance from the cats. Hello to the cat, Krypton.
There we go.
And, you know, specifically, I do like to think maybe in the UK they're just better at keeping secrets. But, you know, that's debatable, depending on which side of the argument you fall. Final listener question from Mr. Calhoun. Does Sarah think there are any telltale signs expressed in those that are more connected or susceptible to the phenomenon? And I suppose within that we can include like spirituality. So people have particular traits or tells.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, so does Sarah think there are any telltale signs expressed in those that are connected with the phenomenon?
That are connected, you mean like kind of like I am? Or
the way I'm reading that is either personality traits or there's something about them, something like that. And I suppose that could connect to the spirituality side of things.
I don't know. Any signs? I don't know what signs there would be, and I don't want to call any of my friends out for being like, oh, well, that person has this trait, and so they're open. I don't know that answer.
Well, I'm going to ask you one more then, because I just missed it, and then we'll finish off on the quick fire, because you'll be having to go to bed soon at this point, Sarah. So I appreciate you've been with us a long time.
And I might go hiking. That sun is bright in here, so well, might go out to the woods.
And this is true then, folks. Actually, when I came in to record this, it was sunny outside. It will now be pitch black. So that's how long me and Sarah have been recording. Final question then from Christian, and maybe this is more relevant for you with the physics background and the data driven side of things. Has Sarah seen specific radio frequencies that UAP emit? Example would be the 1.6 gigahertz in Skinwalker Ranch. I had a guy from the Air Force tell me they can identify UAP by the frequency they emit, and even went as far as saying they are different NHI.
So from my work on the task force, no, because we didn't look at frequencies like that. We looked at the imagery and at the videos. From my other knowledge I've gained, especially from watching Skinwalker Ranch, I love all the data that they have on there. Yes, but I would have seen the same thing that you guys have, because it's Skinwalker and it's a show and the data's out there.
Awesome. So, Sarah, I've got, I think, four things here. I'm just looking for your thoughts on. They can be as quick or as long as you like, but I appreciate we're very much getting towards the end of our time. So the first one has been the big piece of news from the last sort of week, and that is the Immaculate Constellation UAP crash retrieval program. I'm glad you're nodding, and I just wonder, can we get your thoughts on that?
I was not aware of it until 2 weeks ago. And I'm not surprised about it whatsoever. So there's a lot of SAP or special programs that are out there that I am not read into, and I'm happy about that. I joke that ignorance is bliss, because some of the stuff that I've learned over the years, I do kind of wish that I would not have been a privy to. So I wasn't surprised by it at all.
That's fair. Would programs like that have used your expertise or something like the UAP Task Force's expertise, or would they be so buried and classified they wouldn't have wanted to be involved with you?
This is my opinion, right?
Yeah.
I do believe that other task force members likely would have been utilized, but I was just on, you know, supported from one small corner of it that there was no need for me to know.
Would they even know they were being utilized for that? Or could it just be, here's something, we need you to look at it, get it done, and then give us what you've got?
I mean, I guess it could be. If you don't know, you don't know, then you don't have to sign an NDA and read somebody into the program. So yeah, I guess, okay. That could be a thing.
Your thoughts on the upcoming hearings in Congress scheduled for November 13th?
I am so excited. I cannot wait to watch. I hope I'll be able to watch. I'm actually going to be on vacation overseas during the time of the hearings, but I will be with some like-minded people that hopefully we will all be watching. We are.
But last two things. So the first one, have you seen much or care about the Nazca mummies story?
What I've seen is what everybody else has, and I think it's really cool. Again, I'll talk about being a hopeful person, and that I don't understand why people would dupe us or, say inaccurate things other than, clicks and maybe attention or whatever. So I'm hopeful that that's real.
I think that's where I'm at as well. I would love it to be genuine, because wow. But we have to wait and see still on that one. Finally, you mentioned James Fox's The Program, which I know James had an update yesterday online, yesterday being the 21st of October, to see he was having some big meetings in LA with some potential providers. I hope James lands a really good deal for that, because I've said many times he's got a family. He spends a lot of time away from his child to go and do the work he does. And he got absolutely shafted financially in his last documentary by the company as well. What are your hopes for The Program as a documentary and what it can achieve?
I just got goosebumps thinking about it. It's, of course, really good. James does amazing work. And yes, what he has gone through is just gut-wrenching. I can't imagine being in his shoes. And I do know it'll be released, he keeps saying, before the end of the year. So I've seen it, or at least a version. I think it was maybe a version or two ago. But it's such good work. And you could tell the passion behind it, even the passion behind the people with the cameras in their hands. I'm excited. I really do hope this, whatever his meetings are, I'm hopeful for the best. Again, lots of hope.
Lots of hope. Listen, Sarah, you have been phenomenal with your time today, because we have gone well over 2 hours and we started talking before that as well. And I think your cats are getting a bit bored that I've had you now for so long. Do you want to just finish up letting people know about your website and how they can get in touch with you if they want to?
Yes, thank you. So my website is a work in progress, but you can reach out to me from there. It is sarahgracewarrior.com. I am on Instagram, Sarah Grace Warrior, all one word, and on Facebook, Sarah Grace Psychic Medium, I think is what I pop up on Facebook. I did want to say I have gotten a lot of questions for who I went to for my spiritual training. So I do actually want to provide, if I could find it now,
of course.
And I want to read it, because I don't want to say the wrong thing. And of course, now that I'm looking, I'm not seeing. Oh my gosh. So Celeste Woods was my psychic medium teacher. I will never, ever say enough good things about her. She was amazing. And she was also open to a lot of my weird questions that I had, and then also my science perspective. But CelesteWoods.com is her website. And her email is mediumcelestewoods@gmail.com. So I did get permission from her to let everybody know who she is. But thank you so much for everybody for your time and for staying open. And also, we appreciate the skeptics, so we need you too.
That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify. Just search That UFO Podcast Premium. YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an